Good morning. Jeremiah chapter 20, beginning with verse 7. I think we see Jeremiah talking about something that I would think a lot of us have felt. Putting out there the difficulties that sometimes come with living for and proclaiming our Lord. He says, O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You have overcome me and prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction, because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. But if I say I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. Powerful words by the prophet. He is talking about those times when we're worn down. Other Bible characters can relate to what Jeremiah was saying. We can relate to them. David, as he's hiding in a cave because he's on the run from the Philistines, and he's thinking about Bethlehem that at that point was occupied by the Philistines, and he says, oh, my home, if I could just have a drink of water from the well in Bethlehem. He was so down. The great story of his mighty men then that heard him say that, and they went out and they fought through the Philistine army all by themselves, got the water, fought their way back out, and brought it to David. And David said, I can't drink this. You shed blood for me to bring this to me. And he poured it out as a sacrifice to God. Think about Elijah. Elijah in the wilderness just had that incredible victory for God against the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the Asherah there on Mount Carmel. He was at a spiritual high there on Mount Carmel, and the next day Jezebel said, I want him dead, and he took off running and ran about as far as you could go. Winds up all the way back down at Mount Sinai, clear out of the nation of Israel, out of Judah. And he tells God, just let me die. I'm all alone. Just kill me. He was down. Think about 1,982 years ago, last Thursday. You know, when we think about Jesus, He's always so powerful. He's always so sure. He's always so in control of everything that's going on around Him. No one ever's getting the best of Him. We see Him walk into the upper room, and He makes it very clear right out of the gate. He's troubled. We see Him a little later that night as He knows that as Judas has already left to betray Him, and the disciples have constantly been contradicting the things that He says, and He goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and He says, I am troubled to the point of death. So wearied. So stressed. And those three prayers that He would pray to let that cup pass from Him, but not my will, but your will be done. And to be under so much stress and difficulty that the Bible says that His sweat became as blood dropping to the ground. Each of us at times gets down. We feel as if our spiritual batteries have run down. We find ourselves lacking interest. We find ourselves struggling to find desire. We begin to allow ourselves to drift away from our devotion to Christ. We allow ourselves to drift away from our prayer lives, from our Bible study, from our worship attendance, from having the excitement that we should have as God's children. We lack the discipline sometimes to do the good deeds that we once did because We've just let ourselves get down. Paul cautions us against the problems of lagging in our faith or letting our faith get down. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 10, Paul says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those of the household of the faith." Paul is urging us not to lose heart, not to faint, not to grow weary. He does not want anyone to give up or give out or to reach a point where they are unable to bear fruit, the good fruit that should come from the life of a person that has given themselves to God. But what causes spiritual drain on our resources? There has to be a cause. I mean, certainly for Jesus Christ, we understand the cause, right? What He's facing, what's coming the next day on that Friday as He's going to be beaten and nailed to a cross. That certainly would be all needed to explain why Jesus was worn down on that Thursday night. But I don't even think that's all of it. I think the pressure of trying to get those disciples to understand what He wants them to understand in the last moments He has to help them understand it was weighing upon Him as well. Because if you read John chapters 13 through 17, Jesus is very busy in the upper room, isn't He? Very busy trying to bring everything He wants those guys to get before He's gone. Now, He's going to have time after the resurrection, but He knows they need some preparation then. But what causes these things? Well, let's look at a few. One is certainly stress and overload. And I think most of us understand stress and overload. You know, Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 23, we see that Moses understood stress and overload, right? Moses there as the leader of God's people, the God-ordained leader of His people, is judging all the issues amongst millions of people. They're all coming to him. And his father-in-law, Jethro, obviously sees that it's wearing him down and brings wisdom to Moses. He says, "The thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone." See, he understood that if Moses kept up under that level of stress and that level of burden, he was not going to be able to hold up. Folks, we need to understand that we can't hold up under heavy amounts of burden and stress in our lives either. I consider Moses a pretty strong guy. But there was a limit to what he could endure. And there's a limit to what you can endure and what I can endure in this life. We all have our limits beyond which we cannot go. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, Paul speaks concerning the fact that we can only do with what we have and we cannot do with what we do not have. And we need to know our limits and stay within them. I love talking to young preachers. I've had the blessing of being able to have an opportunity to help young preachers in many different cases. But one of the things that I found that young preachers have to learn, and they have to learn soon or they don't last very long, is they have to learn to say one word: no. Because every brother and sister in Christ has needs. And they will bring them all to you. And young preachers don't know where their limit is sometimes. Sometimes you have to say, "I just can't do anymore." I remember an eldership telling me one time, "We want you to do this on this night." I said, "Well, you've got me doing this on Monday, this on Tuesday, this on Wednesday, this on Friday, this on Sunday. When do you want me to spend time with my family?" See, there come a time to say no. Because I understood that I was at the limit of what I could do and still give what I have to give by God's command to my family. So we have to understand that when we overdo, we can easily get tired out. We must overcome our stress. One sure way to do that is to stay within our abilities and stay within our time. You do not get 26 hours every day. You get 24. You know, we need to achieve balance in our lives between busyness and rest. Mark chapter 6 and verse 31 shows us that even Jesus needed a rest. He needed to get away from the crowds and be alone and pray to God. He needed that time. He understood the need for that balance in his life, to be still and to be with God and to know God. Another thing that can drain us is a loss of focus. Some people focus on the cost and not the benefit of things. They focus on the sacrifice and not the value of their efforts. Too often people focus on things that have little overall importance at the expense of those things that truly do mean something important in this life. You know, they focus on these things that have very little sacrifice and require very little effort, and at the end of the day they get very little from it. And they look at their lives and they go, there's nothing to it. You're right, because you haven't been willing to put anything into it. Because you haven't focused on the things that really have eternal and lifelong importance. Shallow focus results in very little fulfillment. And when we have very little fulfillment in our lives, it's hard to have peace. It's hard to have joy. It's hard to have a reason to go forward. Sometimes we have a drain in our lives because of a major trauma. Joseph understood this, or Jacob rather, I'm sorry, understood this very clearly when he thought that animals had killed his precious son Joseph, right? And that trauma was so terrible on Jacob that for years he would fail to care about or to have reason and care for his other sons that he had. Psalm 23, David writes in regard to these times as valleys of deep darkness. Valleys we don't want to go through, but that we have to. For on the other side of these valleys lies the green grass and still waters where we can eat, drink, and be filled and restored. Sometimes we have a drain in our lives on our strength because of a weak devotional life. Lack of study and meditation and prayer causes weakness. People ask why they do not have more joy and peace in their lives. It's because they never really, truly, and diligently seek the God that gives it. It's not going to be found in a book at Barnes & Noble unless you buy your Bible there. It's not found in any book that has on the front of it how to be happy, how to find peace, how to find joy. It comes in a book that says B-I-B-L-E on the front of it. It comes from a God that gives it. The God of all comfort, the God that gives the peace that passes understanding and the joy that's unspeakable. So people often are drained because they never really go to God diligently. Oh, they believe in God, and they love God, but they really just don't have much time for Him. We also have a drain in our lives from a lack of affirmation or support. You know, all of us need affirmation. We need support from our family and our spiritual family and the church. People lose heart and quit, and they burn out over this more than maybe any one single factor. Jeremiah was worn down. Did you catch in Jeremiah chapter 20 why he was worn down? He said, because I'm a laughing stock. Everybody ridicules me. Nobody says, hey, Jeremiah, you're doing a good job. And it's so bad, I just want to quit. That's Jeremiah talking. You know, sometimes and all of us can relate to this, sometimes I've gotten that way. I felt that way in the ministry. I felt like that. And I look at Jeremiah, and I'm reminded, just as he was reminded, that you can't stop. And God still expects these things from us. Feeling appreciated means a lot. And the lack of it drains us. We also see our spiritual strength drain as a result of the weight of other people's problems. The needs of others can drain our wills rapidly. They weigh heavy on our hearts and on our energies. Oh, if we didn't care, that wouldn't be the case. But by the very nature of who we are as children of God, as people that follow the example of a compassionate Lord and Savior as He lived upon this earth, because we are following that example, yes, it does. Because we do care. Because you do matter. And your hurt matters. And we want to help with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 through 29, Paul speaks of his intense concern for those that are weak. And the daily pressure, he says, on him for his concern for all the church. Let me tell you, I find it hard sometimes to keep up with here. Paul says, I'm concerned for all churches, everywhere. Just concerned about Christians as a whole. Worry about them. It's a constant burden, Paul says, that he carries. We can also be drained by physical weakness and illness. King Hezekiah became ill. Isaiah came in and said, you're a dead man. Set your house in order, basically. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept bitterly. Prayed to God. God granted him 15 more years, but it was certainly something that drained him at that moment. We also see that our strength is sometimes drained because of unresolved conflict. Hebrews chapter 12 speaks to us about the root of bitterness and not to let the root of bitterness take root in our hearts, right? Not to allow bitterness to exist within us, that bitterness that comes from unresolved conflicts with individuals. Christian love and the strength that comes from it is impossible to have in a heart that allows bitterness to exist. Bitterness builds misery upon misery by constantly supplying reinforcement to the bitterness through a tainted view of a particular person. I promise you this morning, if you're mad at someone, and you know, I guess the longer you're mad, the worse it gets sometimes. I've known people bitter for 30 years plus. And I can't even begin to fathom that. I don't like to be bitter or upset at somebody for 30 minutes. But everything that person does, good, bad, or indifferent, bitterness makes it something that enforces or reinforces the reason why they're mad. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And folks, that's a drain on your life. And it can make life almost unbearable. A life with no peace and no joy, just an anger that's always underneath the surface. We also see, and last of all, and certainly not a comprehensive list, something that drains us of our strength is unresolved sin. David in Psalm 32 and verses 3 through 4 said this. Listen to what he says. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Guilt. Guilt of unresolved sin can cause continuous internal pain and can constantly drain our lives of spiritual energy. We need to deal with the sin in our lives. So how do I respond to these things? There are many pitfalls in this life which can trap us and make us think our situation is hopeless. But Christ is the shepherd. We talked about the valley of deep darkness, but the reason why the sheep in Psalm 23 were willing to go into the valley of deep darkness, somewhere they would never go, never want to go, because that's where the predators were. They would only go there because He was the shepherd. John chapter 10 says He's the good shepherd. That His rod, His staff, provided the comfort that enabled them to go through those situations, to follow Him through that valley. Christ can lift us out of the pit of despair, out of the pit of weariness. Jesus calls us to Him so that He might help us, that He might comfort us in this life. He says in Matthew chapter 11, come to me all you are weary and heavy laden. You ever feel that way? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it is light and easy. I am gentle and humble at heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, we need to recharge our spiritual batteries today. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14, Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He grants you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. May it ever be. God strengthens us. He establishes us in love, and is able to do, according to the Paul here, immeasurably more than we can ask, immeasurably more than we can even think. I can think about a lot of things I need God to do for me, but He knows even more that I need that I don't even realize yet, because He knows all of my days and knew all of my days, as the psalmist said, before there was even one. So He already knows what I'm going to need next week and next year. He knows what I need the last day of my life. So He knows more. What a comfort. And He says here that He can do all these things, and He does what He does through the power that is at work within you and me. How can I get in contact with this power in me? Through faith and constant living toward God. Constant abiding in His Word. So let's think about what we can do. We looked at things that drain us. What are things that recharge us spiritually? First of all, every one of these will begin with re, so if you want to write the words down, you can. We need to reconnect. We need to reconnect to spiritual people you love. Get close to this congregation. If you're visiting with us today from another congregation of the Lord's Church, get close when you get back home to that congregation. Close to the people sitting around you. Get close to God. Get close to the Lord. Intimacy is the freedom from anxiety and the presence of vulnerability. I have to put myself out there, don't I? Isn't that what we tell people when they're dating and they're thinking, you know, they get hurt? And we go, yeah, but you got to put yourself out there, right? You got to be willing to be hurt. You got to be willing to put everything out there on the line to truly be close to people. Every person has the need for a friend. Every person has the need for a sounding board. Every person has the need for a counselor. Solomon said, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, in Proverbs 27 and 17. My friend, strength is found among people that you love. Strength is found with a God that you love. We also need to restore. We need to restore our physical health. You know, and I speak this one to myself. This point goes off, you know, when I point out that y'all, it's all coming back at me. Each of us needs to improve our health by doing those things that will enable us to be more healthy. God has given me this body. He's given me this ability. He's given me these energies. And I will stand and give an account, as the parable of the talents tells us, for that which God has given me and what I return to Him with it. So I have to take that into consideration. Take time for yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Not doing this will only create stress that will rob you of energy. Good health removes that one thing. I mean, all of us are heading to a day where we don't have good health, okay? That's just the case. That's life. That's living. That's growing older, right? But we can limit what those problems are to some degree with some effort. And so we should think about that. Remove those things from our lives that can cause a great deal of stress. In health things that we can prevent, we need to do what we can so that we can have that energy to build on other things. We also need to renew. We need to renew our mindset. Romans chapter 12 in verse 1 through 2 tells us to become a living sacrifice for Christ. But we do that by not conforming to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. That I renew the way I think. I change the way I think. I think in the way that God has shown for me to think in the Scriptures. When I was first writing this, I put in there, think like God. I can't think like God, so I had to change that. But I need to think the way God tells me to think, right? Because I can't think like Him. It makes it clear His thoughts are far above my thoughts and His ways above my ways, so I can't do that. But I can think like He tells me to think in God's Word. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 13 through 15, therefore, prepare your minds. Have you prepared your mind? Prepare your minds for action and keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. Do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance. Okay, so that's the way you used to think. See, you need to think something better than ignorant. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Never be holy until you think that way. Never separate yourself in the way you think until you change the way you think. Because all of us have lived in the ignorance of sin. Or if you haven't, then you have no need of Jesus Christ. But you have. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we all need to change. At some point in our lives, we've needed to change the way we think, right? We need to think in ways that set us apart, make us holy. Get your head together. Refocus on what matters. Avoid the peripherals in this life that just waste your time and energy for nothing. How we think determines so much regarding how we deal with life and how we view life. How I think. If my life is spent going, you know, no matter what happens to me, God is there for me. No matter what happens to me, heaven is waiting for me. I'm going to be a much more optimistic person than the person who doesn't think like that. You know optimistic people? Do you know pessimistic people? What you want to be? Depends on how you think. And you can change the way you think. We also need to today to return. Return to your roots and remember your beginning. Remember in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, Jesus Christ tells the church at Ephesus, you have left your first love. You've forgotten the one back there that was your first love, the one that first loved you. John tells us that in 1 John chapter 4, that it's not that we loved Him, but He loved us first. God loved me long before I ever was even a thought. He loved me. Loved me before the foundation of the world. Remember what Jesus did for you. Remember your first love. Remember where you were before Christ. Remember what He brought you out of. Remember how He changed your life. Remember the difference He's made every day since. And if you've left your first love, remember how much better it was when you were with Him. And how you so need to get back to Him. Remembering what Christ did reminds us that we are loved in wonderful ways that should bring great joy to our hearts. Folks, when you take the Lord's Supper, do you remember that someone died a terrible death for you? Died a terrible death for me. We cry at movies. That's not even real. That person on the screen, when they said cut, he's not dead anymore. He got up and went to his dressing room. And we cry at movies. I've cried at a movie. I'm ashamed to say it. There's some man points off my card. I've cried at a movie. We cry when our dogs die. I ask you this morning, have you shed a tear for Christ? Have you thought about what He did? And have you cried? I hope you have. Because it's worthy of it. If you ever shed a tear, that's the one thing that's worth it. We need to also repent. Repent of the sin in our lives. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 13 makes it clear that we need to put to death the deeds of the body. And repentance is to decide such things, to decide to separate ourselves, to put to death. Death is just separation. To separate myself from those things and not do them anymore. They're not me anymore. They're dead. I put them to death. We need to remove the guilt that hurts the heart and the spirit. And that begins with repentance that leads to forgiveness. We need to recapture You need to recapture your faith this morning. That faith you had at baptism. Boy, you came up, you were excited, weren't you? I'm going to change the world. I'm going to change the church. I'm going to change everybody I know. I'm going to tell everybody I know this is the greatest day of my life. And somewhere, someday down the line, it all goes away. We let it drain away. It gets sucked out into all the busyness, doesn't it? And a couple of rejections. We need to recapture that. We need to recapture our love. Love for Christ. Love for our brethren. Love for the lost. I love Christ because I remember what He did for me. As undeserving as I am. I love my brethren because I know how important you are. I know I can't imagine trying to get to heaven without you. I'm not strong enough. I'm not good enough. I need you. And I guarantee you, whether you want to admit it or not, you need the people sitting around you too. I need you to get there. I love you because you're there for me. And folks, we got to love the lost. It's got to break our hearts when we know where they go when they die without Christ. Now, if that doesn't bother us, we got to get down to a heart check. See what's wrong with us, because we certainly do not have the mind of Christ. As He came to seek and to save that which is lost. We need to recapture hope. This morning, if you were going to die this afternoon, if the Lord was going to come this afternoon, you going to be happy about that or sad? I have a hope. And I believe you have a hope too, of heaven. Heaven's better than this life. No, Bobby, there's no NC State ball games. And maybe Duke wins. I don't know. But heaven's better. I don't like the sickness in this world. Do you? I don't like death in this world. Do you? I don't like pain in this world. Do you? Those things don't exist in heaven. I don't like mistreatment in this world. Do you? That doesn't exist in heaven. I'd rather be in heaven. Paul said, for me to die is gain, right? That's better. I have a hope. Recaptured. Remember that you're living this life to get to one place, and one place only, the best place, and that's heaven with God. Catch that hope. And so many of the silly little things that we find ourselves so wound up about on a daily basis just seem to melt away in the bright light of a heaven with God. You also need to reassure your heart. God said, "Be not afraid, for I am with you." And to Joshua and to the Apostle Paul. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You believe that? I believe that. Not a sparrow falls from the sky. A little bird. Does it fall from the sky that God doesn't know? Don't you think God knows what's going on with your life if He knows a bird falls to the ground? You're in His ever-abiding presence and awareness. Knowing that you are never alone removes the despair of loneliness and gives us great encouragement. And then last of all, we need to realize that God is working in and through us. We read that in Ephesians chapter 3 a few moments ago. God makes a powerful difference within us. Isn't it awesome to know that God is working to accomplish His purposes through you and through me? The God that spoke the universe into existence, that doesn't need anything, has chosen me to work through. Has chosen you to work through. Does that not make you feel pretty good? And He's working through you to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. Reminds me of Esther and Mordecai. Maybe you've been brought to this very moment for this very purpose. Why? Because God has got a purpose. He's opening the doors. He's providing the ways by which we can really change the world around us. It is a wonderful thing to know that. Life with purpose is a great life. A great purpose motivates us and drives us forward in a positive manner. We need to also, I said lastly, didn't I? I repent. Because I lied. Lastly, now, we need to respond to the needs of others. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, bear you one another's burdens. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of the faith. We need to respond to others. You know what? When you're down, when you're worn down, when you're feeling like you're just at the bottom of, you're at the end of your rope, go help somebody. Because it's so easy at that moment to see only you. To see only your problem. To see only what's going on with you. To see only the difficulty that you're having to deal with. It becomes so inward focused. And the problem is, may not go anywhere. It's going to be there. So you're not going to feel any better just focusing on it. Help somebody. I promise you, you help somebody, you feel better. It just feels good to help people. So reach out and help someone. Stop thinking just about you and think about others. And it'll take your mind off for just a little bit and give you a little bit of a recharge. It's hard sometimes to do that. It's hard to put on that brave face when we feel so beat down. But it could mean so much to another and recharge us. We think about the resurrection today, and so many are, and rightfully so. You know, Jesus Christ went into that grave dead. And that looked like the end, didn't it? I figure Saturday for the apostles and for those that love Mary Magdalene, Mary and Martha, Lazarus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, I figure for all of them, Saturday was dark. They were probably pretty worn down. Sunday morning made a difference, didn't it? The power of Jesus Christ rose from that grave that day. Our lives, we go into baptism and we die. We're buried in baptism. That old man of sin is dead. And by the power of Jesus Christ, according to the book of Colossians, our sins are washed away and we rise alive in Jesus Christ to a new life, right? Not the old one, that's dead. To a new one. To live for Him. A life recharged by the power of God. It begins with the power of God that raises us up, and that power of God continuously raises us up and recharges us when we get down. David, when his men wanted to kill him after the families were taken at Ziklag, encouraged himself in the Lord. He recharged. How? By the power of God. By going to Him. God is able to strengthen us, but we must cooperate with Him and be willing to allow Him to work in our lives. Too often we close ourselves off from God, close our eyes to His goodness and His willingness to bless us, but we need to open our hearts to His love, to His strength, to His heart, to His will. Be recharged. Be given life as only God can give it. This morning, if you're not a child of God, you don't have that hope of heaven. This life is going to deal you all kinds of difficulties. It deals everybody difficulties. I'm not even going to begin to tell you the very fact that I'm having to tell Christians this morning that we need to look to God when we're down. I'm telling you that life is hard no matter whether you're a Christian or not. But there is one thing about being a Christian. No matter how hard life gets, I always have an assured end with Jesus Christ. That gives me hope to endure the hardest of times. This morning, you're not a child of God. You don't have that hope. Jesus Christ died that you could have it. He rose from the grave to assure it a Sunday morning 1,982 years ago. He did that for you. He knew you then. He knows you now. And He invites you to come to Him. If you're a child of God this morning, maybe you've been worn down. Maybe you've let that take your life away from Christ. You've forgotten that the real power for encouragement and strength is in Him. Come back to Him. He says, come to Me. My yoke is easy and My burden is light. And you will find rest to your soul. We can assist you in that this morning. We hope and pray that you will let us. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?